praise God, to be able to stand here in the seat of and in the stands of God. Thank God for our pastor, Sonia Gross, for she is over our Sunday school, allowing me to stand before her people, God's people. We're going to pray and then we're going to get on into the word. Dear Lord, I thank you for another day. I thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for just allowing me to stand here, Lord God, and do what you called me to do, Lord God. Let it be nothing of Miriam, Lord God, but let it be all of you. Decrease me, Lord God, and let them see you increase, Lord God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord Jesus, forever be in your sight. In your name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Well, he gave me just another word. He gave me the word stand. You know, in this life, we stand for many things. We are taught in school to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag at the beginning of school. We're taught to stand at the beginning of sporting events at the national anthem. And we stand for our favorite team. We stand, we shout, whether they're winning or they're losing. We stand, whether it's good or bad. But when do you start to stand for the Lord, for your life? When do you take the time to say, maybe I need to start standing for him? Because, hey, he has stood for us on so many occasions. Sometimes he wants us to just, hey, do you want to stand for me? Because sometimes he will put you in a place to be able to see, are you really in me? Are you really standing for me? Sometimes he will order your steps that way. Let me tell you, the most important person that you can ever stand up for is Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 51:1, it says, it's talking about true fasting. It says, shout it loud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to the people their rebellion and descendants of Jacob their sins. I'm talking about standing for Jesus. So standing for Jesus means being bold in your faith and not being ashamed to express your beliefs in challenging situations. It involves living according to Christ's values and being a witness for him in your daily life. Standing for Jesus refers to a committed Christian upholding your values and your faith in challenging situations that might occur. It may occur in your home. It may occur on the job. It may occur out in the mall, wherever you at. But I'm talking about standing for Jesus. It involves being not ashamed, being unapologetic for who you worship, who you stand for, who lives in you, being unapologetic to him and the beliefs that live inside of you. One of the most significant things we stand as believers is being bold, sharing what? The gospel. We have an amazing privilege in sharing what? The good news of Jesus Christ and his love for others. What is the good news? He lives. And not only that is the good news, but he wants to see everybody saved. He does not want everybody to perish and go to hell. He wants everybody to repent and get into the knowledge of him. He loves everybody. And that is the good news that he wants everybody to make it in. But yet and still, we know that there are some people that will not adhere to the sound calling and doctrine of him. And you know what? That is their choice. Because what? God gave us a free will. It is your choice. He is a gentleman. He will not go over your will. He will not say, oh, you need to do this. I want you to accept this. No, it's a choice, whether you do it or whether you don't. But I encourage you to stand for Jesus. To stand for Jesus. It can be intimidating at times, but I encourage you not to shy away from speaking the truth in love. Through prayer and resilience on the Holy Spirit, we can cultivate a courageous life in speaking up about our faith, standing up in the way, not only strengthening our own faith, but it also invites others to know a life-changing power of Christ. And Romans 1:16 talks about, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation everyone who believes, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love and a sound mind. Just in those two verses, I'm going to go on. Think about it. He has not given us a spirit of fear. That means I've not allowed you. Sometimes you may get a little shaky, but then that spirit that resonates inside of you, it will rise up and get to the point and be like, okay, I'm going to stand for you, God. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to stand and proclaim the gospel that lives inside of me. You said that you won't give me the spirit of fear. So why? You said that you give me a spirit of fear, not give me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So that means my mind is sound and order and being able to think on what to say to people and being able to, because he said, I will give you the remembrance. I will bring all things back to your remembrance when it is time for you to stand in the front of people. He said, I will give you that. And 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for a hope that you have. That's why you got to be ready in season and out. You got to be ready to speak the word of God. And not only do you need to speak the word, you need to know what you're talking about. Because why? The enemy knows what you're talking about. He knows the word of God just like you're supposed to know the word of God. That's why you're supposed to be prepared no matter what comes in front of you. We got to be a prepared people for a prepared world. The other day, this is a true statement happened to me. The other day I was on my way home. And I said, let me stop at the gas station right up the street from my house. And I said, I'm going to give me and my husband a little cappuccino, you know, feeling a little, want something like that. Yeah, feel good. Yeah. So, well, as I was getting out of the car, I looked over to one of the gas station bays. And there was this gentleman and a lady, and they were kind of going back and forth, you know, and I was like, wow, I don't know what that's about. So I went on into the store, and the young man at the counter said, since we're closing down, they're getting ready to do some remodeling. So everything in the store was buy one, get one, or buy two, get free. And I said, okay, well, I'm just getting some cappuccino. He said, oh, well, you just going over and help yourself and get as many as you want. I said, oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. So and he said, everything in the store except for alcohol and tobacco products are on sale. And I said, all right, cool. That's fine with me. You know, I'm cool on that. And already in the store, the two people that I seen out there in beside the bays, they're in the store now. They're on the other side of the store. It's like a walkway, and they're on the other side of the aisles. And so I was going down the candy aisle. I know I probably shouldn't, but I was going down the candy aisle. Give me some candy and stuff because it was half price, right? And the gentleman came up to me, and he said to me, you know you want to buy some alcohol. This man came up to me out of the blue. I don't know this man. Never seen him before in my life. He came up to me and said, you know you want to buy some alcohol. It's on sale. You ain't got to. And I said, no, I'm cool on that. I'm good. He said, now, you know you got somebody or yourself. You want to drink some stuff. And I said, that's what I said. I took a deep breath and I said, politely, no, thank you. And well, he proceeded to continue asking me, you know, you want to take a little sip. You know, it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt you, girl. It's free and everything. And I'm just looking at this man like, who, you know, and then in my mind, in my spirit, it was resonating. Okay. I understand, Lord. And all the time, all this back and forth me and this gentleman was going for, the cashier was watching all of this. And the guy proceeded to say again to me about the alcohol and the cigarettes and stuff. And I said, sir, I am a pastor. And I said, I do not drink. I do not commune with that stuff. And he said, well, talking about commune, don't most churches drink sip wine when they're doing the communion? Don't they partake in a little bit of drink? And I said, yes, sir, some churches do. I said, but I do not participate in that. And as he kept going on, something inside of me, and I was like, okay, I see you, demon. You're a demon, okay. I know who you are. Thank you, Lord. You're showing me who this person is. And then he said, and the thing about it is, this is how you got to know who you are in Christ. You got to know that you got God resonating inside of you, because he will come up to you in anywhere you are, and he will test you. He will see, are you for real about this Jesus you say you about? You be down here dancing. You be down here praising God. You be down here on the women's call, and you professing, you saying that God's in all this stuff. Let me test you, woman of God. Let me see if you say you who you say you are. So the man said, he changed his voice. This is how Jesus. He changed his voice. He said, didn't Jesus change the wine, water into wine? I said, my spirit raised up. I said, yes, he did. I said, but let me tell you about that wine. It was unfermented. There was no alcohol at that time in the wine. Let me tell you what the demon did. He closed his mouth. Him and the woman went out the door, out the store, and went on out. I watched him walk out. Thing about it was, he came for me. The thing about it is, I stood for God. That's why you got to know who you are standing for, who you standing with. Where are you grounded at? Where is your feet lying when you wake up in the morning? Because you don't know who's going to test you. You don't know who's going to try to trip you off your game in Christ Jesus. And the thing about it was, this is so crazy, and I laughed about it, because they walked in with nothing, and they walked out with nothing. They thought they was going to come in and get something, but the devil is a lie. You hear me? You better know who you are in Christ. You better know who you're standing for, because he is coming. He came in the church last Sunday. I don't know if you've seen it, but he's launched his attack. So therefore, I was not surprised. 3 days later, he came for me. He came for me. Bold. Just come up to me. Talking to me. Just bold. Like I was just going to just scare him away. Like I was going to be, ew, no. Yeah. No, I'm going to stand for the Christ that lives inside of me. That's why you got to read your Bible. You got to ingest this word. You got to know you got a sound word to get back at the devil, because Jesus said, at the name of Jesus, he will flee. So what did Jesus do? I'm going off script. What did Jesus do when he came out the wilderness, and when he was in the wilderness, when he was tested by the devil himself? What did he say? He said, it is written. So therefore, when the demon came up to me the other day, I was like, it is written. No, baby. He did turn the water into wine, but it was unfermented wine. There was no alcohol in that day. And then I just closed my mouth. I never said nothing else. They closed theirs. They walked out the door. That's when you know. And I got in the church. I got in the truck. And I said, you go, Jesus. Oh, my God. That was just so awesome to know, hey, I can stand for you. And I ain't got to have my husband, the bishop, standing in front of me. I ain't got to have my saints, my sister standing around. I can stand for Christ myself. It is you've got to know who you are in Christ. We are living in a day and age. Man, I did not expect that. I just went to go get some cappuccino. But the devil said, you know what? I'm going to test her. I'm going to test her little down here prancing around. And yeah, she's doing this, she's doing that. He said, okay. But God, and I feel like God was saying, test me. Test my chain. Just like he did with Job. He said, when the devil went up there, the angels went up to heaven. And then the angels looked back and said, and saw the devil walking up with him in the court. Like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just walking. And Jesus, no, God said, what are you doing? I'm just walking here and fro, just seeing what I can do, basically, what I can tear up. And then God said, have you seen my servant Job? I feel like God said that day, have you seen my servant Miriam? No. Yeah, he said, yeah, I've seen. You got a hedge of protection around her. Can't nobody touch her. Everything I've tried, it don't work. Everything I put up on her don't work. I've tried this. I've tried that. But it don't work. We said, what am I going to do? I'm going to do like this. I'm going to pull my hand back. Yeah. Just turn the fire up. Just tighten it up. He just turned. And so he said, test her. See. And I'm just not saying for me. He's coming to test each and every one of us. We are in a day and age. He's coming to test you. And he wants to know, are you going to stand for me in the midnight hour? Are you going to stand for me? Are you going to stand when all hell is breaking loose? Are you going to stand for me when the fire is hot? Are you going to stand for me when everybody in your family is saying, why are you serving him? You see you're not getting anywhere. You see that you're still broke. You still don't have this. You still in lack. But you still want to serve him? Yes, I do. Because there ain't nothing worth going back here. Because I'm back here. It's damnation in hell. I will go in hell. I will be in hell. I will lay in hell because that's where I was. But when he brought me out into the marvelous light, let me tell you, there ain't nothing to go back there for. If you're in him and you ain't, if you're not in him, baby, get in him. Because let me tell you, there ain't nothing like serving him. There ain't nothing like walking about of a storm like, you go, Jesus. Yes, yeah, thank you, Lord. You did that. I didn't do that. That was not of me. It had to been the Lord Jesus Christ that resonates in my life every day to be able to stand before a man that I didn't know. And that man just kept coming to me. That demon just, he was bold because he was coming close to my face. And I was like, oh, okay, back up, okay. And, you know, in my natural, I'm thinking, oh, come on, back up. But in my spirit, he was resonating. My spirit was boiling because he just kept on. And that's what the devil does. He just keeps on tempting you. He just keeps on throwing a little bit out. Come on, let me just throw a little bit out. You'll take it. You'll grasp onto it. But that's because that's when you go back to say, I know who I am, and I know whose I am, and I know what he's done for me. He's done too much for me to just flake out on him now. It's no. It's for us to stand for a risen Savior that paid it all for us. He didn't have to. He went to that cross. He got beat unmercifully for me, for you, for your descendants, for everybody. But sometimes we just want to just be all lackadaisical on him. Now, we are living in, don't be so lackadaisical. And that's, my husband makes fun of me with that word, but it's true. That means you're just laying down like, oh, what did you, la-di-da, you know, I'm just carefree life. No, baby, you got to have your ears alert like something is going to happen. You have to be on point. You have to be like, okay, when you wake up in the morning, okay, God, you do your prayers, and then you say, Lord God, what is there out there before me? I asked you to go before me. You said you would order every step I take. You said that you would go before me. You said that you would make my crooked places straight. You said you would let no thing come upon me. So therefore, you got to pray yourself, pray your way through before you even pray. Press your day out before you even get out the door. You got to make sure you've had time and communion with the Lord. Sometimes we get so caught up in wanting to be time with our boo and our bae and our kids and everything. Then our work, we got to be on time for this. We got to be on time. When are you going to be on time for God? When are you going to stand for him? When are you going to be like, God, I'll live for God, I'll die. I don't care who's coming. I don't care who's going, because in my life, I've been through too much hell and high water not to stand for a risen God, not to stand for a risen salvation that lives inside of me. I'm telling you what, when we did that fast here in this church, it awoken something. I don't know about you, but it awoken something in me, because I ain't in the same sense. And I praise him for it. I praise him for it. He knows what we need. He knows what we stand in need. He knows what we're in lack. And he said, I will give you what you need. But what you first need to do is give me you. You too busy doing you when you need to be doing me. Get out of yourself. Step out of the way. Take yourself and set it down and get into the book. Get into the bread of life so you will have life. We're too busy out here trying to be cute. We're too busy up here trying to hang on to this, trying to hang on to that, trying to do this and do that. No, he said, hang on to the one thing that's going to hang on to you. Hang on to the life and the salvation and the love of him that's going to be able to lead you and guide you into a life of holiness, a life of freedom, a life of the mind. And you, sometimes we feel like we're so pressed in the mind. We feel like, oh, I just can't do it. I just have my mind. I'm just going all that. That is a distraction from the enemy, because God does not give you the mind of confusion. He gives you a mind of peace. He gives you a mind of clarity. But he gives it to you when you are in him. Because if you're not in him, don't expect to have everything that everybody else has. Don't get jealous about what everybody else has, because God has afforded you to have the same thing. He said, I set a table out before you in the presence of your enemies. He said, I lay it out for you. He said, so if you want me to ride for you, if you want me to do for you, get in me, and I will do everything that you see me doing for somebody else. The Bible said, I am not respect the person. He said, what I do for one, I will do for another. So that means if he's blessing me, baby, he said he bless you. But yet and still, don't try to run on my raincoat. Get your own coat to run on. Get your own salvation to run on. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out where you need to be in him with fear and trembling. Quit looking at somebody else's walk. Quit looking at somebody else's talk. Quit looking at somebody else's, oh, they just this and they, oh, they getting blessed with this. You can get blessed and all that stuff too. But hey, they have put their time in. You got to put some time in. They say putting skin in the game. I heard my husband say that. So sometimes putting skin in the game, and I understand that now. You gotta take off your fleshly life. You got to take off your fleshly desires. You got to take off your fleshly mind. You got to take off your fleshly people that you hang around, because you cannot hang around the people if you're trying to get right in God. If you're trying to stand for a risen and an awesome and a magnificent and a mighty man of God, a Savior, you cannot hang out with who you think you can hang out, because light and dark don't have nothing to do. You can't blend together. It does not work. If you do not stand for a risen God, if you do not let that stuff go, let me tell you, baby, it will let you go. And it'll say, to the lake, that's where you're going to end. So therefore, don't try to ride on somebody else. Get your own trail. Get your own path. Stand in God. Because when you stand in him, he's going to stand for you. I'm a living witness. He will stand for you in the midnight hour. He will stand for you when people say, oh, that's impossible. He can't do stuff like that. He can't make ways out of that. Who are you to say, you know who? I am a child of the living God. I am the child of the Most High God. I know who I am. I know where he's brought me from. I know who lives in me, and I ain't living on my mama's coattails. I ain't living on my grandmother's coattails. I'm laying on Miriam's coattails, because I've been with him. I know what it's like to be in the presence of the Lord. And you know what? I know what it's not like to be in the presence of him. I'm not saying I ain't been here. I always been all hunky-dory, and I've been this old cute person. I've been this old saved person all my life. No, I have a past just like anybody else. But you know what I did? I brought that past to the cross. And I laid it there. I took a stand and I laid my old man down. I laid my fornication down. I laid my mouth down. I laid my attitude down. I laid me down because I wanted to rise to the occasion when what just happened the other day? I couldn't have rose to the position he wanted me to be in without being in him. Because if you're not in him, you cannot portray him. You can act like him, but let me tell you, who did he say? Paul, I know. Timothy, I know. But who you? Who you? You just strange weed in the garden. Strange weed in the garden. If you ain't rooted and planted in the living God and the saving God and the trusting God and the living God, you ain't planted, you ain't standing, you ain't doing nothing. You just out here just willy-nilly. You just dancing through the tulips, and that's all you gonna do. Because he said, stand. He said, stand for me. No matter what is gonna come up against you, stand. And when you just stand, keep on standing. Don't be trying to rush out of the stand, because let me tell you something. I have learned, stay in the stand and stay. When he says stand, stand. About face. I ain't never been in the military, but I've watched shows, and he says stand and about face. Do not move. Be immovable through the power of my God. Be immovable by the word of the testimony. Be immovable by the word of everybody's trying to take you down, trying to press you down. Be immovable by the word of the Lord, the gospel of the Jesus Christ. It is the one that is cutting like the sword. He said, I did not come to be la-di-da with you. I come with a sword. I came to cut you from mother, cut you from brother, cut you from everything that's trying to cut you from me. Sometimes you got to be so about yourself in him, you can't stand to see, you can't just sit around and listen to all this other stuff, because this other stuff wants to get in your ears. It wants to get into you to where you don't hear the voice of God. He said, my sheep know my voice. That's why you can stand in him, because you know his voice. You've heard him. And you know what? And if you don't know his voice, he said, I'm here to give it to you. All you got to do is come to me. I'm not hard to find. I keep my arms open wide every day. It's up to you, brother. You just want us to receive me. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 41 and 10, it says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He said, do not be afraid, no matter what coming up against you. Don't be afraid. When you go to school and you got these demons, these kids, and they don't like you, they jealous, they got something against you. Don't you be afraid of the gospel that lives inside of you. you. Don't be ashamed to say, I am saved. I am sanctified. And I got Lord Jesus Christ living in the inside of me. And you know what, babies? God will say, hey, that's my child. Do something if you want to. I got they back. He said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. And that goes to the children. That goes to the elderly. That goes to the mid-teens. That goes to everybody. Because once you get into him, he said, I will take care of you. You don't have to worry about taking care of yourself. He said, I got your back. I don't know about y'all, but that is nobody better. I want to have my back. I love my husband. Y'all know I do, my all my heart. But let me tell you, God is my lover of my life. He is my first love. And it's the same with him. And that's the way he's supposed to be, because why? I wouldn't want nobody else to try to take his place. Because once you try to let somebody come in that place, you are replacing your entire life. You're replacing your mind. You're replacing your spirit once you allow somebody to take that place where God, Jesus Christ, has said, I am your first love. In Revelation, he says, I am your first love. In Psalms 46 and 1, it says, God is my refuge and my strength, every present help in trouble. The other day, I didn't know I was going to be going in trouble, just going in the store to get some cappuccino. Just going in the store, like, I'm going to give me some drink. Did not know I was going to need my present help in the time of refuge. But the reason why he was my present help is because he was already inside of me. The reason why you're able to stand on the job, you're able to stand in the face of the devil on the job, you're able to stand and tell that demon in his face, hey, you're able to speak the word, you're able to give a word to God. And they're like, what's going on with you? You ain't acting the same way. Something ain't right. Yeah, because I've been changed. I've been changed. I've been with God. I've been with the one who can change anything. I've been with the one that can turn it all around for me. I've been with the one who can say, I will raise you up. I will lift you up. I will give you everything you need. And not only that, I will bless your descendants if you just bless me. It ain't just saying me. He's talking about my lineage. He said, I will bless your lineage. I will bless anything that you're blessing. Because why? You are in me. That's what happened with Job. I love the book of Job. You know, his kids, you know, Job was so awesome because he know his kids was out there doing all this and every, all them. And they was having parties at the houses at the other brothers and sisters. And Job was saying, let me go make some incense. Let me go pray for my kids. Let me go before. Let me pray for them. And God does that for us. He said, come to me. That way I can go before you. Come to me so I can make your way straight. Come to me so I can remove the crooked places that I've already seen that the enemy's trying to throw in your place. I've already seen the stumbling blocks. I've already seen the danger. I've already seen the stuff. That's why he said that God is our refuge. He is our strength in the very present time of help. And when you need him, all you got to do is call him. Because if you got him, you can call him in the midnight hour. You call him whenever you want to. That song is so true. I call him in the midnight hour. I call him anytime I want to call him. Let me tell you something. You can. He will answer your call. He will answer your call. But you got to know who you're calling. Do you have him? Do you have him in you so you can call him? You don't always have to call. It's good. We say, call the pastors, call the saints and everything. But let me tell you, baby, you better call the one before you call any of us. You better call the one who can deliver you right quick there in a hurry. You better call the one that can just scratch you up in a minute. He can take you up out of that danger. He can pull you out faster. Sometimes we may not be able to answer the phone. We may be doing something. The phone may be dead. You don't know where any of us will be. But let me tell you what, if you got God inside of you, you know where he is with you. He is with you. All you got to do is say, Lord, I am in a need. Lord, I need you to come help me. Lord, I need you to come and take care of me. Lord, I don't know what's going to go on, but Lord, I need you. They're saying this. They're saying that on the job. My family's saying this. My friends are saying that. Oh, Lord, my car done blown up. Oh, Lord, I ain't got no way to get this. I'm not going to have a roof on my head. This, that. He said I will supply all your needs with my riches and glory. But you think about it, you've got to be in him. You got to be in him. Don't expect to get something when you ain't deposited nothing. You hear so many people, God, I want this. I'm so mad at God. He ain't giving me this. He ain't doing it. Well, what have you given him? What have you done? You got to put in. That's like, go to the bank. I bank at Chase. Go to Chase Bank. Put your debit card down. Put your number in. You ain't got nothing in it. You ain't going to get nothing back. They're going to say, yeah, insufficient funds. You can get mad with them. You can get, I know I had some money in there. I know. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You just trying to make them try to give you some money. No, you didn't. Stop playing them. No, you didn't do it. You do that. In 2 Thessalonians, now I'm getting ready to, Lord, he went so all the way, but that's okay. When you let him lead. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, but the Lord is faithful. I understand why you want to end up on this one. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And hallelujah. And that's what I needed that day. I needed him to protect me. I needed him to bring back all the remembrance of the word that I had in my mind. All the remembrance of the word that the Bible says, hide the word in your heart so you won't not sin against him. That's why you got to hide this word in your heart. You got to read it, hide it, digest it, and then throw it back up and put it back in. Throw it back up, put it back in, because you don't know when you're going to have to pull it out. He said, but the Lord, I'm finishing up. I got to read the scripture one more time. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Amen. I have anybody any questions or any remarks or anything? If not, I'm going to pray out, and we're going to get you. Yeah, babe.
This morning. Basically what he's saying, stand in me, walk in the footsteps that I have planted for you. Don't go off the track. Follow my lead. Be obedient in what it is that I am calling you to do. Don't try to carry that burden. Let me carry that burden for you as I carry you to where it is where I need you to go. I'm going to prepare that table for you as long as you put your trust in me. So when you said that, I'm like, okay, God, I hear you now. First lady was in that conversation with us. I know where I need to go. Stand flat-footed, as Lila would say. Stand flat-footed and walk in my obedience. What it is that he has called me to do, what he's calling me to do. I don't have to be scared. Fear no longer takes over me. The anxiety no longer takes over me, because I am standing flat-footed for him. For God I live and for God I die. And I'm going to be that vessel for not only me, but for my children. And for those who do not know him, my obedience is to bring those to Christ. Bring those to whoever doesn't know him. Get to know him, because he is the one.
As my sister Lisa said, he is the one. He's the one. He's the only one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because you never know when we're working on this thing. You know, he deals with us first, but you don't know where it's going to reach. But you just praise God and you ask him, Lord, whatever you're going to do, you just do it. So, Lord God, I just thank you for you just being you and you doing what you do and where you know where your word needs to hit. Lord God, I thank you for you doing it. Lord God, I thank you for, Lord God, for your people that you've assembled in this place, Lord God. Father, I ask that you go before us, Lord God, in the rest of these services, Lord God, from the exhortation, from the praise team to the announcements, to the preached word, Lord God, to the babies and upstairs and downstairs and in the nursery, Lord God. Just fill this house. Lord God, shield us, protect us, Lord God. Let your holy presence just reign in this place, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We honor you, and we will forever give you the honor, praise, and the glory, Lord Jesus. It is due you in Jesus' name. Amen.